Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey moms, dads, teachers, and coaches, visit pncachieversbaltimore.com and nominate a local high school lacrosse player who demonstrates excellent leadership qualities in the classroom, community, and on the field. Every Tuesday from March 3rd to May 19th, we will be highlighting a PNC Achiever on air and online.
This is WJZ-FM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 The Fan, and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
Trey Gibson entered this season as one of the Orioles' top prospects, and it was pretty much a guarantee that he would be in the majors at some point this summer. No one thought it would happen this soon, though. Yesterday, he made his MLB debut for a Birds rotation that has been extremely depleted by injuries, and he gave the team a chance to win by allowing just three earned runs through 4 2/3. Here's what he had to say following the outing.
The stuff felt pretty good. It took me about, you know, two innings to really, like, get all the kinks out, all the jitters out. And then the fourth and fifth innings where I really felt like I came into my body a little bit more and felt more comfortable moving down the mound.
Even though he walked off the mound with things all tied up, the bullpen would eventually melt down in the eighth as the Yankees went on to win 11-3. There's still one more left to play in the Bronx this evening at 7:05. Pre-game coverage here on The Fan begins at 6 when Tim Barbalace and Ryan Ripken deliver Baltimore baseball tonight at 6. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Play home run riches from the Maryland Lottery. You could win instantly or win cash for Orioles home runs as a contestant of the game. Please play responsibly. From the Bob Bell Automotive Weather Center, plenty of sun with temps warming up to the mid-70s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney Show, sponsored by Town Appliance. Your next home upgrade starts at Town Appliance.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, whip around coming up here in a few minutes. A lot going on in the world of the NBA. Stanley Cup playoffs. Series have ended. We're into the next round in the Stanley Cup for sure. Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun, talk about the Orioles and when the Ryan Helsley news came down Friday, because there had been no indications that he was hurt, the Oriole closer. Inflamed elbow, 15-day IL. This was a stunning turn of events. And it was like, well, what other injuries could just rise up out of nowhere? Trevor Rogers with the flu that's put him on the shelf for 2 weeks. Dee Kramer getting hurt running in the outfield.
Yeah.
A quad that's going to knock him out for maybe a month plus. And obviously Zach Eplin, that's a different level because he tore his elbow. He's already had Tommy John surgery. He's done for the year. And we saw Brandon Young Thursday got clobbered in the second game after pitching wellness a couple of starts prior. And then yesterday, our boy came up, Trey Gibson. You know, it's fascinating about both of them. They're both Jim Palmer minor league pitchers of the year. Both undrafted free agents who just kind of busted their ass. I know, Vinny, you like the big, high, fancy, number one pick kind of guy. These are guys that busted their asses being undrafted and ascended up the depth chart and became highly regarded prospects. And we're going to have to get to know them and love them because they're probably going to be getting a lot of starts here moving forward. But the Orioles have lost four in a row, all four games, five runs or more. They have a ton of injuries. They have a ton of just bad play. Not a fundamentally sound team. Maybe the baseball IQ isn't the greatest in the world. Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Bob in Edgewater. Bob, what's up?
Hey, Bob. Pretty good. How are you doing today?
Good.
Well, I know how you're doing. It's all right. Listen, Bob.
I'm all right.
Two things you've repeated since last year. The Orioles are going to be the Blue Jays of this year. And I love you, but that's not going to be the case, dude.
I'm starting to feel
it. Second thing you've always said, this team's got talent. All these first-round draft picks, I think it's safe to say they're busts. Kirkstadt's on his way out. Kowser, he's lost. Adley, okay, a little bounce back. Mayo and Gunnar, I know they were second-round picks or whatever. The kid last year, Honeycutt, he had to take a sabbatical last year. Bob, tell me where the pitching, where's the next Mike Mussina? Elias has been here since, what, 18, 19? Where are, except for Gibson yesterday, where are these highly rated pitchers that I hear Tony Pentee talking about every Thursday or whenever he's on this show? Where are those pitchers, Bob? Because they're not coming into this, they're not getting up to the Orioles, into the major league level. So to me, I see the problem as there's a serious culture issue. Two managers, same players, same results. There's, and here's the other thing, Bob, one last point.
Yeah, go ahead.
That getaway game against San Francisco, and we talk about Elias making the lineup. If that getaway game, game three against the Giants, was not Elias with his fingerprints all over that lineup, I don't know what is. He brought up, what, three players that day, and they all started, or maybe it was two players, Weston Wilson, and I can't think of the other guy in the outfield. They both started. Do you think Albie's saying, oh, yeah, these guys are coming up, I think I'm going to start them? Clearly, Elias has got his fingers all over this lineup, and it's got to stop because it's preventing, I think, Albernez from coaching or managing the way he probably wants to. That's it. I have other thoughts, but that's all. I'm just blowing off today.
There you go. There's Bob in Edgewater. And look, even Craig Albernez more or less admitted that, you know, the lineup isn't necessarily his
right
to fill out. But I'm looking up Toronto through 34 games last year. They were 16-18. The Orioles are 15-19. I don't think Toronto was as banged up as Baltimore is right now. And Chris Bassitt, by the way, was helping the Blue Jays in that stretch run that got them within and out of the World Series. But they also had a stud in Vlad Jr., which Gunnar Henderson could be. And we've talked about it with Nolan, that when you talk about contract comparables, that's what Gunnar Henderson's probably going to be looking for. But yeah, Mike Elias should be in the crosshairs. He put together the roster.
Mm-hmm.
The injury problems, I mean, he's not out there with a magic potion trying to, like, what do they call them, voodoo dolls,
yeah,
trying to get him hurt. But, you know, he did replace Brian Ebel and that training staff a couple of years ago, and they've been decimated with injuries. The Helsley one's just like, where the hell did this come from? And how severe is it?
Yeah.
Elbow inflammation. You know what I mean? I've had, from, you know, sitting at my drinking table, my right, I'm a left-hander, swelled up because my doctor said it's an air sac from you just laying on the elbow all the time. It's not from throwing 100 miles an hour. But I'm wondering, like, dude, what did you do to get the 100-mile-an-hour fastball shut down for the next couple of weeks? Where did the inflammation come from? And the same with Trevor Rogers, who had pitched, didn't pitch well. Remember, his previous three or four starts, he was horrible, especially based on what the expectations he brought to us. Mm-hmm. Then he's got the flu.
Yeah.
And then Muscles O'Neill, he gets the flu, falls down, and knocks himself unconscious where he's in concussion protocol. I mean, so where is all this stuff coming from? It's almost like they are, and only get in here real quick before we go to a break and get the whip around. It's almost like they are a schlep rock team. Like, what did Mike Elias do to piss off the baseball gods after 3 years ago? He was the executive of the year, and no one was criticizing him. He started getting the heat in the second half of 24 when they got banged up and made a couple of trades. But he's gone from one of the heroes of the day to a guy that I think a lot of Oriole, and I'm not one of them, by the way, but a lot of Oriole fans would like to see be dismissed from his position.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was as vocal as anybody last year about that sort of thing, but I can't even get on his case right now. I mean, there might be time for that later on, depending on how the rest of the season pans out. But what I'm watching here, I mean, look, did they have the perfect offseason? No. They came up a little bit shorter of what I would have wanted, but they still made big moves. They still made aggressive moves, in my opinion, to try to right the wrongs that happened a year ago, when you also had a bunch of swing and misses in the offseason. At a certain point, the players play. Get it right. You know, the defense, like, all right, you can say, all right, you didn't have the proper defense in mind when you constructed this roster. There were some things that you thought you could get away with that you're clearly not going to be able to get away with this year. But man, that doesn't excuse just the pure lack of fundamentals. that this team displays. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's there's no excuse. That's my only takeaway.
But so how do you forget to be a ball player?
Once you could argue that
you've reached the highest level that it gets to. Mm-hmm. You didn't learn how to hit the cutoff man when you're like five?
Well, that's why I'm saying I think
12?
In today's day and age, you could argue, were these guys ever real ball players? Because they weren't taught that stuff at a young age. And they weren't taught that stuff in the minors for some reason.
Well,
It's max effort, throw in, launch angle, exit velo, all of these things, these big fancy stuff. Hey, Aaron Judge is about as physically gifted as we've seen play baseball in years and years and years. Mm-hmm. He seems to be fundamentally sound.
No doubt.
He throws to the right base.
I mean, from what I understand, and I'm not in it. Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening right now that have kids and travel ball and stuff like that. I mean, that's a whole different beast.
Well, Mike Bordick brought that up, and Ryan Ripken kind of doubled down on that, too. It's all about, hey, get the biggest, best kids, put them on travel teams, and just go blast away. And you never really learn fundamentals because travel teams, you know what I mean? Well, Vinny, you know, with your son, it's all about cake, baby. You got to spend a lot of money to travel around and be in these highfalutin tournaments. But I'm guessing in hockey, you still learn the fundamentals.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you practice.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you practice a lot. Yeah, fundamentally.
But baseball, you watch these dudes.
It is expensive, though.
Yeah. Either way, you know it's expensive? Tyler O'Neill. You know how many extra base hits he has? One. You know how many times he's been hit by pitch? Twice! He has one more home run than we do. We'll come back. It's the whip around. Speaking of the Stanley Cup playoffs, they're underway. A game 7 last night in Montreal, which we'll get to. Or was it Tampa?
Tampa.
And then NBA, 2 game 7s there. Next round begins. The Preakness, or the Kentucky Derby, a 23-1 shot came from last to first. And Obina Keezy Jr., made his college decision known. Since I haven't mentioned it yet, you know it ain't Maryland, right?
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
Football heavy show. Femi Iambadeja, former Raven, will be in studio with us. Mike Silver was in the Ravens draft room during the draft. He'll give us the sights and sounds.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport,
every game,
everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Maryland.
All right, time for the whip around. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vince Rod, and Nolan McGraw. Other side of the glass, Golden Tempo, 23-1, won the Kentucky Derby, coming from last to first. A 70-1 horse finished third. The Dollar Super paid $94,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Me and my wife made over 23 bets. On the Derby, we did not. It was the 19 horse. We didn't have the 19 in one, in one exotic. So we were not the ones who won the $94,000. Just put it that way. Let's see. Make sure I get her young lady's name right. DeVoe, first female trainer to ever win the Kentucky Derby.
Good for her.
And the ratings, since they started the Nielsen ratings for the Derby going back to 1988, because I'm assuming in 73 when Secretariat was in his heyday and there was only like four channels. There were probably like 60 million people watching that thing. 19.6 mil peaked at over 20 once the race started. Like from 7 to 7:15, they were like at 24 million people. So the highest ever recorded Nielsen rating for a Kentucky Derby at 19.6 on average.
Wow.
So that was a strong day. Yeah, I started because I bet on the races. I started race two. Following through Peacock and, you know, all that funny stuff. But, yeah. Now, whether or not Golden Tempo runs in the Preakness in less than 2 weeks at Laurel remains to be seen.
Bob, to one. When I put it on, because it said it comes on at 2:30, but I was watching the Orioles, and then it transferred. You know, that was over at 5. You know, and then you see the little clicker on the bottom. An hour and 30 minutes till the race. I said, geez.
Yeah, and they start staggering the races, too. Like, races 1 through 7, usually within 25 minutes. Then it goes 50 minutes, hour, and all of that.
So, now, the one that was on the grass, Bob, they have two tracks there?
Yeah, you got the turf.
Yeah.
And then the
dirt.
The dirt,
yeah.
You know. I did win $27 in the 11th race. Didn't make up for the $127 I lost betting on the bleeping Kentucky Derby, but congratulations the Golden Tempo. Abina Akizi Jr. Spit it out, dude. Son of Abina Akizi Sr., who played for Maryland and Gary Williams from 96 or 95 through 99, was a three-star recruit coming out. Project guy who Gary Williams and Jimmy Patsos and Billy Hahn turned into an NBA player for 8 years. And then Abina got into the corporate world and became rather wealthy. I believe it's water treatment plants that he owns. But anyway, his son is a five-star, top five recruit, number one center.
Damn.
He's seven-footer. And when it's straight to them, big guys now, they can shoot threes and all that. Abina was a paint guy. He played in the post. He could hit a 15-footer from time to time. But his son's like a new wave guy. And he reclassified from 27 to 26, committed to Louisville over the weekend. And the story in ESPN pointed out that Maryland really closed strong. They really put the full court press on. Close to get at Louisville, closing down the stretch. But, it's got to be. Pat Kelsey, Jr. said Kelsey, the visit felt like home because he visited them last week of April. And then Buzz, because he even said last week that Buzz is like, he's a dude. And obviously I'm a legacy guy because my dad played here, was an outstanding player in a lot of cases. But Abina Akizi Jr. commits to Louisville. So they will. Well, their class is already number one, isn't it?
Louisville? Yeah. I thought Arkansas.
Well, now that he's reclassifying at 26. By the way, he picked Louisville over Maryland, Arkansas, Kentucky, and BYU. BYU had DeBonzo, who might be the number one pick in this year's drafts. All right, NBA real quick. Detroit, 116-94 over Orlando. They complete the 3-1 comeback. Kate Cunningham, 36 points, 12 assists. Tobias Harris, who's a much maligned player for whatever reason, he had 30 points, so that happens. And in the aftermath, Jamal Mosley was fired as the head coach of the Magic after five seasons. Paolo Banchero wasn't real happy with the way that... basically said, I'm tired of being mediocre, I'm tired of losing in the first round of playoffs. And so the coach gets sacrificed there. So Detroit advances where they will play Cleveland, who beat Toronto 114-102 as Jared Allen had 22 points, 19 boards. Donovan Mitchell had 22. By the way, for the Pistons, Kevin Herter strained adductor. He didn't play and quickly didn't play in Toronto. He got the hamstring after coming back from the foot injury. But seven games there. It was Cleveland 114-102. They will take on the Pistons here next round. And it's the Knicks and the Sixers who finished off the Celtics minus Jason Tatum in game seven on Saturday night in Boston. It's the whip around Stanley Cup playoffs. Last night in Tampa, Game 7, drama.
That's Rutkowski out for Newhook. Here's Hudson with a shot, stick to side by Vasilevsky. They score! Banking off the goaltender Vasilevsky, and the Canadiens take a 2-1 lead. What a play by Newhook. Banking it off the goaltender.
TNT on the call, 2-1. Vinny was the final score, and in finishing the game with that, Montreal advances.
Yeah, it was a crazy game, Bob. I mean, Montreal, they started out real good, and like you said, it was in Tampa, the crowd was going nuts, and Montreal scored, and it deflected, shot from the point, Suzuki deflected it, the centerman, he deflected it, and the deflection went off one of the Tampa players and then bounced into the net. So, I mean, they had two deflections, so the goalie never gave up a real goal. And Montreal had nine total shots. They had no shots in the second period, none. And they had two power plays and didn't get a shot. And then I think they went like 3 or 4 minutes into the third without a shot. You know, and Cooper, the coach for, you know, Tampa, he said, you know, I've had a lot of wins where, you know, the hockey gods looked out for me.
Yeah.
He said the hockey gods did not look out for me. And Bob, and he was the coach that lost the Olympic game to the U.S. too when he coached Canada. So he's had two tough ones here at the end. So, yeah. And then the other game, the Minnesota-Colorado game, oh, man, that was crazy. That was, like, I started watching it, and Colorado scored, bam, bam, bam. It was 3-0. It was like, I'm out. You know, and then by the end of the first, it was 3-3. You know, and then it was 5-5. You know, Colorado ended up winning 9-6. They got an empty netter, too. Bob, how about in that game, Minnesota-Colorado, 15 Olympians amongst the two teams. Yeah, 15.
Tonight, Philly, a Carolina game, two there, and then Anaheim and Vegas.
Yeah, and Bob, tonight, Saturday too. Night, Carolina kicked the you-know-what out of Philly.
Yeah, we were watching it, believe
it. Looked like two different teams. You know, I mean, Carolina scored quickly. You know, they were up three right off the get-go, too. And the second line for Carolina's done all the damage. And then tonight, Anaheim at Vegas, that's going to be an interesting one because both teams are playing pretty good right now.
It's 58-81-0-5-7 The Fan. It's the whip around the Orioles. They've lost three in a row to the Yankees, four in a row overall, trying to get a W before they head to Miami, taking on the Marlins. Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun. We'll talk to him. We'll talk to Nolan McGraw as we visit Old Quick Draw around 11:45. Then news from the Nets going to shift to the Ravens. Vinny out there at rookie minicamp. Cordell was there, and Ken Wyman, Ben Hall, all out there with the Fan, getting a gander for half an hour.
Yeah.
What can you see in a half an hour? We'll talk about that coming up at 12.
If you missed today's Big Bad Morning Show, have segments, hours, or full show delivered daily to your phone. Subscribe to the podcast and listen anytime on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts. The Big Bad Morning Show, live on the Fan's YouTube channel, tomorrow 6 till 10. 105.7 The Fan.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
The teams you grew up with.
Ravens are world champions.
Are the ones you still love today. 105.7 The Fan. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
The Orioles have dropped three straight to the Yankees, and yesterday's 11-3 blowout loss felt like a new low for the group. Trey Gibson gave them a chance in his MLB debut by tossing 4 2/3 and giving up just a trio of runs. Things were all knotted up when he exited the game, and Baltimore only trailed by one heading into the eighth. But that's where things really imploded when Andrew Kittredge and Dietrich Enns let New York bat around and push seven runs across.
The one mistake to Dominguez that, you know, Kit probably wouldn't have back, and, you know, there were some balls that found holes of a Kit. He hasn't pitched in 4 days, so it was good to get him back out there, but, you know, his stuff still looked sharp, but we just couldn't stop the bleeding that inning.
There's Craig Albernaz on what went wrong late in the game. The O's will need Shane Boz to be a stopper when they play one more in the Bronx later on tonight. The Yankees will send out Cam Schlittler with first pitch scheduled for 7:05. This Fan Flash is sponsored by Valor Roofing. Need a new roof? Don't wait. Call Valor Roofing right now and get 50% off materials, plus pay no interest until 2027, saving you big. Call Valor right now at 833-83-VALOR or visit valorhome.com. From the Bob Bell Automotive Weather Center, plenty of sun with temps warming up to the mid-70s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. We'll talk to him coming up in a couple of minutes. News from the Nest at noon. We're going to hear from Jesse Minter talking about his team, his first rookie mini camp in the book. So stick around for that. Orioles, unfortunately, they've lost four in a row, all four losses by five runs or more. Dropping like flies. That IL starting to get a little robust. Trying to avoid the sweep in New York tonight. It's Shane Boz on the Hill joining us now to talk about the Birds of Baltimore, the original Birds of Baltimore from the Baltimore Sun. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Matt Weirich. Matt, first of all, good morning. How are you feeling?
Doing well, guys. How are you doing?
Doing all right, man. Where the hell did the Ryan Helsley injury come from? Because we saw the alert come from the Orioles themselves, and you guys were tweeting it out. And like, wait a minute. What? After everything they've already encountered injury-wise, you lose your closer who didn't appear to be laboring at any point. What, for people that may not have heard the news, first of all, Matt, what's up with Helsley, and what was the stun level that he's going to be gone for at least a couple of weeks here?
Yeah, you know, certainly came to a surprise to all of us. Something he apparently had been feeling for a couple of days, some discomfort in the elbow, but imaging came back clean, which is the good news. So it doesn't sound like it's expected to be a long-term injury, but they just wanted to get him some rest. Ultimately, though, it's a big blow for this bullpen, a big blow for this team. As you mentioned, ton of guys on the injured list so far this year, and now Helsley, who has been rock solid as their closer to this point, joins that club.
Another interesting roster move over the weekend, Tyler Wells being sent back to the minor leagues. What precipitated that? And, you know, we know that Tyler Wells had come back from Tommy John. We assumed before all of the acquisitions in the offseason he was going to be a candidate to be in the rotation, adjusted to the bullpen role, didn't pitch all that great early, but seemed to be getting it together a little bit. Tyler Wells, why? Why is he the guy that's an odd man out, at least for now?
Yeah, honestly, the end of the day, it might have just come down to the fact that he had options. Just given the state of this team right now, they need fresh arms on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, with how much the rotation has not been able to pitch deep into games, you know, it kind of feels like Wells was just a casualty of that. And like you said, he had been pitching a little bit better out of the bullpen of late. It was something where I don't know that he felt super like he was getting all that comfortable in the bullpen role right away, so it was taking some time, but it did look like he was starting to turn a little bit of a corner there, and certainly the Orioles had still been using him in a high leverage role, so not somebody who I expect, you know, to be sent down long term. It does sound like they are going to keep him in a bullpen role, even with the state of their rotation right now. No plans for him to be stretched out as a starter, so they're full steam ahead with him as a high leverage reliever, and I expect he'll continue to have that role as soon as he comes back.
Now, Matt, we talk about the Orioles' defense or lack thereof. They're one of the worst defensive teams in baseball, both infield and outfield. Let's be honest. It's not one particular area that is stout, even though Alonso's been better than average at first base. I mean, you were around the team in spring training. Were there warning signs that this might be a fundamentally flawed, if not below-average defensive ball club here?
I mean, it's definitely coming in. This coaching staff had its work cut out for them. This outfield was the worst defensive outfield in baseball last year, and they bring in Taylor Ward, who, you know, is about a solid defender in left field, but he also playing left field at Camden Yards is no easy feat. It's one of the tougher left fields to play in all of baseball. So, you know, between that and trying to get the rest of the group to take steps forward, it was certainly going to be a challenge. And then on the infield, you know, Pete Alonso wasn't expected to be the guy that he is so far. He's certainly been a bright spot there, but Gunnar Henderson's never rated out well by the advanced metrics. They don't like his range, particularly, you know, to his backhand. He's moving away from first base on balls that he makes over there, so that kind of hurts his numbers. Coby Mayo, you know, we had a big question mark about him at third base. I think he's actually fared well, you know, all things considered, that we, you know, was moving back to a position he had thought he was not going to be playing anymore. So, you know, I think there are some bright spots about this defense, but when you just look at the collection of a whole, I mean, it's just the mistakes. It comes down to the plays that should be made by any reasonable defender that don't end up getting made, because sometimes this team will surprise you defensively and make a great play in the diving play in the outfield, or a great relay to get a guy at home, you know, a diving stop on the infield. We see that, but we just don't see the consistency from play to play that ultimately has really been holding this team back.
Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Orioles-Yankees series finale coming up tonight, 7:05 BBT, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services here on 105.7 The Fan, coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. Where does Colton Cowser fit in right now? I know they had lefties back-to-back days with Weathers and Freed was not at his best. And you were, well, I don't want to start, you know, keep harping on what happened last night or yesterday, but if Cowser's not in the lineup against Cam Schlittler, and I know Mike Elias less than 2 weeks ago told the media in the dugout there that, you know, there are no plans to send him down, but if he's not playing against righties on at least a semi-regular basis, what's the point of having him on the team right now? Well, that was a great question, too.
Yeah.
I think he was.
Thought he was thinking about the answer.
Yeah, so I was like, "Well, that's a good question," and one that I can't really answer right now. Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun. Orioles taking on Cam Schlittler, who's a right-hander, and he didn't play against the two southpaws. That, as we know, the Orioles, no matter who they throw out there, they're winless. Rather against left-handed pitching, but Colton Cowser's a guy. Let's think about it. 2 years ago, he was a runner-up for Rookie of the Year and was a Gold Glove finalist. Let's get Matt back in here. Matt, sorry about that. Modern technology, friend or foe. What's the deal with Colton Cowser? When do we start to see him get regular at-bats? Or if he's not tonight, for instance, against a righty, where are we thinking here?
I mean, honestly, he's been relegated to the role that we kind of saw for Leody Taveras to start the year. And until Taveras really starts to cool down, I would imagine that center field is going to be his. You know, he certainly has a track record of playing a big role in a contending team, and so far he's been able to show that there is still potential left in there. So, you know, they're in the business of winning baseball games right now. They can't afford to maybe develop on the fly, and certainly with Cowser, we've seen maybe some signs. You know, in Kansas City, he had a couple of hard hits that the Orioles are very encouraged about. But obviously the overall results are not there. You know, his track record on not being able to hit breaking balls and off-speed pitches is well documented. So, you know, for Cowser, he's got to make the most of whatever sparing opportunities he gets, and that's how he's going to have to earn his way back into playing time. So, you know, with Dylan Beavers, you know, in the mix as well, also being left-handed, you know, him also not being off to the greatest of starts, maybe they give Cowser some runway there over Beavers. But really, at this point, he has to show that he deserves opportunity over the other guys.
Now, Matt, two-part question. Like, can we see Garcia as the closing role, you know, while Heasley's out? And then what's the latest with Holiday?
Yeah, certainly think Rico Garcia is probably the leader in the clubhouse to be the closer. I mean, Anthony Nunez has gotten a save as well, but he's not coming off of the best of outings, whereas Garcia has largely been perfect other than one solo shot that he's given up this year. So overall, I think Garcia is probably the guy. And then for Holiday, he is, you know, working his way back still from this second setback that he's had, expecting another rehab assignment coming up here, maybe in the next week or so. But, you know, this is something that the Orioles have understandably been a little bit cagey about just because of the back and forth here of just trying to get him right and get him pain-free, which has been proving quite the challenge for Holiday to this point.
Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun. Matt, as always, appreciate the time. Enjoy the Bronx. So hopefully get a win out of there tonight before they head to Miami. And then the A's and Yankees come to Camden Yards starting this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Matt Weirich, everybody. We'll come back, reset for you, talk to Nolan McGraw. Get him more involved in this conversation as we've been, you know, kind of lambasting the Orioles, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Injuries have lambasted them, too. News from the Nest coming up at noon. First rookie camp for Jesse Minter. Buy or sell. Where's the early week money count now? And Sam Cohn from the Baltimore Sun. Talk Ravens with him. Got NFL Lunch. Got the American League East Report. And Jeffrey Chedia, NFL.com. All coming your way in hours 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. Every do it.
What happens next happens here. Baltimore Sports Radio.
That ball is out of here.
105.7 The Fan.
So if you're thinking of moving this summer, but you haven't started the process yet because it's overwhelming, it's not too late. So if you don't want to spend a month getting your home ready, you don't need to settle for less money than your home is worth. You just need to call Lee Tessier. Like the rest of us, Lee sees so many of those cash offers for your home billboards and gets the unsolicited text too. He gets how convenient they are to take. What he doesn't get is why anyone would accept an offer for 30% less than their home is worth. Now, when Lee makes the same cash offer for you for fair market value, Lee's dedicated to saving you time and stress also. So with my buddy Lee's cash offer, there's no need for expensive repairs. You can sell your home as is and get paid what it's worth. So call the old agent I qualify to sell my home. That man's my buddy Lee Tessier. Just give him a call today at 410-638-9555 or go to LeeTessier.com. That number again, 410-638-9555, or find listings at LeeTessier.com. And when you call Lee, simple, start packing.
Yeah. This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
There is zero excuse for the New York Knicks to not make the NBA Finals this year. They are the best team left standing in the Eastern Conference, with Boston eliminated over the weekend by the Philadelphia 76ers. And Philly is firing on all cylinders. The Knicks are better. The Knicks are better than the Cavs. The Knicks are better than the Pistons. And if the Knicks don't get to the NBA Finals, Mike Brown's got to go, and Giannis Antetokounmpo needs to be wearing orange and blue next season at the Garden. I'm Nick Costos.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Ravens rookie minicamp was this past weekend. Availability limited. It was like a regular season practice. You get a half an hour, you can do the still photos, watch what individual stuff, but can't get a full-on glimpse at the process. Venga Ioane did a little right guard action. We'll get into all of that and more. How did the young receivers look? How did the tight ends look? In a small sample size.
This
like,
was...
small, like Diego Pavia small.
I.E. instant evaluation is what it was.
And Pavia's a little smallish in stature, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Big in attitude and big in skill, but... Yeah. Not the most impressive. What's he, 5'8", 5'9", something like that?
Yeah, he's... And, like, his hair was... Like, did he have some purple in it? Or I couldn't tell.
The visual of him, of the brief, what we did see, media-wise, coming out of the weekend, of him taking a snap under center.
Yeah.
And that the center he's working with, the ball's practically at eye level for... I mean, exaggerating there, but more like, you know, chest. It's a little jarring. For
he
NFL.
He looked like an elf taking a snap from Santa Claus.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Well, Nolan chimed in. Nolan McGraw, our colleague here on Vinny and Haney. So, quick draw. What's going on? How you feeling over there?
Ravens talk here soon enough. Don't you worry, folks. Gotcha. Some actual positivity to get to. More so because what can we actually rip with the Ravens at this point? It's all gravy right now.
Oh, absolutely.
With the Orioles, it is not
gravy. 6 months, it'll be a bunch of whining and complaining.
Time for that later. But for now... Maybe a little bit of, I don't know. I'm trying to grasp at anything I can today to try to boost me up after watching these past three Orioles games, and maybe give me some reason to feel okay about tonight. The silver lining yesterday was Trey Gibson, as we've already discussed. He performed, even though you'd like to see him get through that fifth, right? Just have that clean finality to it of a clean line there, five innings, three runs. I still thought he was exceeding any expectations that I had for him. To be thrown into the fire like that at a time where this rotation is completely decimated by injuries, to have that first start major league level on the road, Yankee Stadium, all the context, all the circumstances, I thought he was great. And look, if he was going to go out there and get shelled, I like that he just, look, I'm throwing it over the plate. You hit it, let the defense work. This defense stinks. But the point is, he didn't go up there and nibble. Feel, oh, I gotta throw a no-hitter today for us to have a chance to win. Just went out there and threw. Just attacked. And quite honestly, he should stick around. Should not be immediately back on the shuttle. One, because they need him. Two, because I think he's got something to give. And my hope is, we'll see what happens here, that maybe he's not the last to get an early call-up. There's a couple other names in the prospect list that we expected to be here at some point this summer. I think most of them I would have categorized as a September call-up candidate when the rosters expand. But because of injuries, right now you have a need for some of these guys. The pitching is evident with Gibson getting him up here. But we keep talking about this outfield defense. When Enrique Bradfield Jr. is healthy, is the conversation going to be, does he need more seasoning? I think the conversation should be, let's get him up here and see what happens. What's the worst that could happen? Is it going to be any worse than what we're watching right now, offensively or defensively? I'll answer that for you. No, there's no possible way it can be worse across the board than what we're watching right now. My hope is that Mike Elias, who showed a willingness to change some of his stripes, change some of his methods over the offseason, carries that into the season, whereas the Gibson thing, they had a need of pitching. He could have easily said in years past, like he has with other top prospects, it's just not ready yet. We don't want to throw him in that situation. He needs more innings. He needs more time. He'll be here soon enough. No, they threw him right out there. So I'd like to see that with some more prospects.
And to your point about Enrique Bradfield, you have two guys right now offensively in the outfield, O'Neill and Colton Cowser, who are nothing burgers offensively.
Yeah.
So to your point, I mean, I can go out there and hit a buck 20. I mean, even I'd be like hit a dribbler down the line at some point in time. So bring it on in there. I mean, to that point, though, they need everybody else that's supposed to hit.
Right.
To start
but hitting. But it's a net positive.
Can Tavares play corner outfield?
Yeah, he can play all three. If you can play center field, you can play all three outfield spots. But I like Gibson, the pitch mix. What's that outpitch, the death ball that Ben McDonald was trying to explain with the rotation? Fastball was hitting 97 on the gun.
He looked.
If the curveball got touched up by Rice and by Mike Aaron Judge, but they hit home runs off of everybody, as a caller earlier said today. I liked what I saw, and I've liked so far for Brandon Young. Now, he got batting practice Thursday in the doubleheader, but his defense didn't do him any favors in that inning. Povich seemed to be scuffling on Friday night, though,
yeah,
a little bit.
And with Gibson, you know, Wilson didn't help him out over there at third much either. And the thing about he looked calm, cool, collective. First time Oriole rookies ever pitched in Yankee Stadium, and it didn't look like it was too big for him.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Adley, at the end of that first inning, when he, you know, Adley goes over and says, our defense sucks, man. You're just going to, you know, just throw the ball over the plate and hope for the best and try to get 27 strikeouts because if it's hit the third base, we're in trouble. Weston Wilson did not have a strong day with the glove. But either way, that lineup, they were in the game. He left with the game tied at 3, and the bullpen just kind of went south on him. But I was impressed with him. But that lineup on a regular basis, you're not winning a lot of games, man.
No.
You are not winning a lot of
games. It looked like Albie was impressed with him, too. Like, when he came out to get the ball, like, he stayed out there.
Well, I thought he was doing a stand-up routine on the mound. They were all, like, laughing.
I know.
He's like, all right, give me the ball. I know you're pumped, but let's get out of here.
He said, I want to judge.
Yeah. Well, he got him.
Yeah.
If he would have got through that.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, Wolf Ram came in and
bang, bang.
And that's what it is. But Orioles lose yesterday as they've dropped 4 in a row, 11-3. The game was actually closer than the final score indicated. It was one inning that was just a mismatch in favor of the Yankees. They will go for the 4-game sweep. And then the Orioles will be off to Miami, taking on the Marlins, who are 16-18. They are in second place in the NL East, but the Braves right now are the only team above 500 in that division. They just lost Ronald Acuna Jr., however, to a hammy. So Atlanta's having a really good year. Jorge Mateo went deep yesterday and stole a base for them. So did Jonah Heim. So a couple of ex-Orioles helping the Braves win a baseball game. We'll come back, shift gears, talk Ravens. It's news from the Nest. We're going to hear from Jesse Minter and others. Stick around for that.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you miss. 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, everybody, it's Bob Haney here. Are you seeing the prices at grocery stores lately? It feels like the numbers just keep going up. But listen, I don't sweat it because I use Upside. With the Upside app, I get cash back whenever I shop at giant locations. I go to the one on Crane Highway, and you can too. It's easy. Simply download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and start earning cash for buying the groceries you're already buying. And if you thought it couldn't get any better, my limited time promo code CHARM15 gets you an extra $10 bonus on your first purchase. You know what's wild? Family of four is spending $1,200 a month on groceries right now. I saw that number and thought, gotta be a smarter way to do this. And I found it. It's called Upside. Don't wait. Download the free Upside app now and use my promo code CHARM15 to redeem your $10 bonus at any Giant location. That's promo code CHARM15. Join the real people earning money just for buying groceries. Plus, you can cash out anytime to your bank account or an e-gift card for Amazon or other brands. What are you waiting for? Download the free Upside app now using my limited time promo code CHARM15 for a $10 bonus on your first purchase at any Giant location. Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.